less comfortable. Okay, Tov. We are on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We've just finished talking about all the over-the-top descriptions of Achashverosh and Mesiva, right? Okay. Right, top second word. On the seventh day of the second Mesiva, when the king had been drinking for a good 7 days, and he was feeling really happy about that, apparently. And is it good about himself, right? He says, wait, he wasn't drinking enjoying the drinking until 7 days? That's like determined. No? Amarava Yom Shavi Shabbat Haya Sheisrael Oichin Shoisin Maskin B'Divrei Sora B'Divrei Sheisishbach It's Balumri Sa'olam Shoichin B'Shoisin In Maskin El B'Divrei Tiflus. Says Yom Shavi, it wasn't the seventh day, it was Shabbos. Right, and on Shabbos, what do Jews do when we eat and get together and we eat and drink and we say?
Dura Torah.
Dura Torah, right? When Achashverosh and the Goyim get together and they eat and drink for a big feast, what do they do?
Drink.
Suppose they ask their wives to come out naked, right? Say Tiflus. Right, that's the point that Gemara's making. And not Ad Kedei Kach, but the point is, like, compare the two things. That's the point, right? Right, and that, therefore at that feast, what happened? It was the seventh. It was on Shabbos, and they'd really broken out all the nice food. And this guy said, "Women from Madai, they're the prettiest, the most attractive. No, Persian women, they're the best." So it says, "Amar lai Achashverosh." Achashverosh said, "Klisha nimi shtamish bo eino eloi madai eloi parasi elakasti." So it says, the thing that I make use of, ad kedei kach, right? It's not from Madai, it's not from Persian, it's from the Chaldeans, right? Rotzoin chem liroisa, do you want to see her? No. Amroi, in? And I said, yeah, but she has to not be wearing any clothes. No good if she's wearing clothes. Doesn't count. Right? So, shebemida shata moidinda moidedinloi. Right, as they say, just as a person behaves, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will behave, and others will behave to him, right? Melamed shai savashti harasha mevia bonu bnoisis rom mefshitan arumois ve'oisa vahen malacha beshanas. This teaches us that what did Vashti do? And why is it that Achashverosh made a decision to parade her in front of all of his friends naked? Because she used to take Jewish girls, right? And she would force them to undress and do Melach on Shabbos for her. Right? So now she's being punished with the same sort of thing. Right? And that's what it means when it says that when Achashverosh stopped being so angry and he sort of got over it and he stopped being so upset, right, and he remembered Vashti and what she did and what he had decreed upon her, right? In other words, that he decreed that she should be executed, so too, right, just as she behaved, she made these Jewish women walk around naked and do Malach for him Shabbos, and if they didn't, she would kill them, so too, he asked her to walk around naked, and when she didn't do it, he killed her. Yeah? Or in the kindergarten version of Megillah, he sent her away. Right? Okay. Sorry, by the way. I don't think the point of Gemara is necessarily that the second a non-Jew sit down with food and wine, this happens sort of as an automatic thing. But having said that, the point is that Jews, Dafka, we don't do this. Right? To point out the difference between what was happening at Achashverosh Suda and what should be happening at a Sa'udah. What we believe is the ideal at a Sa'udah. Right? Literally worlds apart. Okay? So it says, Vatema'ina malka Vashti michdi krisusa havai. Right? It says, Vashti refused. Right? It says, wait, because it was princess? Because she didn't want to be seen naked? Says, Vashti was just as interested in Britzlus as Achashverosh was. Remember, we saw this already in the history that a woman drinks for her husband from the same gourd as her husband, right? My table asked, why didn't she come? Amar Rabbi Yosi Barchanina Melamed Sheparcha Batzaras. At that point, she got her ass, and that really she didn't want people to see. Right, that's very embarrassing. So that's why she refused to come. Okay. And Abraisa, we have a different comment. Gavriel came along, and he suddenly created for her a little tail. So if she were to walk around naked, then everybody would notice that. Vaiktsoif HaMelech Amoid. Right, the king got very, very angry, right? Again, angry enough to execute her. Very angry. Right? Amoid Dalkabi Huli Hai. Why was he so angry? Doesn't make sense. It wasn't so bad. Amarava Shalchale. Bar Ahurayre the Abba Abba Le Kabel Alpha Chamra Shasi Vele Ravi Vaugavra Ishtati Be Chamre. Right, it says, the son of the stable master of my father, and Achashverosh was the son of the stable master of Nebuchadnezzar Arasha. Right? My father used to be able to drink 1,000 glasses of wine and it wouldn't make any difference for him. And you are drinking his wine now and you're getting drunk? Pfft, you're pathetic. Right, that's why he got angry. Now, should be noted, Moruvi Rabbi of Yaakov Elman, Shlita, once told me that this is an interesting point about Persian culture. Why the son of my father's stable master? What was she telling him?
That he had come from a place which was not royal.
So definitely he wasn't from the royal family. What else? In the Middle Ages, a stable master was a very important person. He was one of the more important people to serve a lord. That was a very high-ranking position. In ancient Persia, he was the lowest of the low. Right, the person who dealt with the horses was considered to be totally pathetic. Right? We, by the way, see it later on in the Megillah, right, when Haman has to lead Mordechai's horse. Right? It's a very, very humiliating position to be put in those days. Why? Because what's the table master going to spend an awful lot of time doing? Shoving around horse patties. Right? I don't know if you've ever smelled them. They smell really bad. It's really very unpleasant. Right? So that the insult is very strong. I guess we've totally lost the cultural context of it now, but in those days, it's a really bad insult. That's what the Gemara says, yeah. I don't know if she said something offensive to him, right? So it says, Miyad v'chamasa bar arba, and then he says his anger was literally burning within him. He was so embarrassed. V'yoyim ra'amel ha'chamim, man ha'chamim, rabbanan. Yodei ha'itim, she'yodin la'aver, shanim l'kbo ha'chadashim. So it says, the melech said to the wise men, and who are the wise men? Rabbanan, they're the rabbis, right? Yodei ha'itim, they're the people who know the times. Why yodei ha'itim? Because they're the people who know when you have to make a new leap year and when you don't. They're the people who know how to calculate the years, so they know if this year has to be a leap year or next year has to be a leap year, right? Amru lehu dainu ali. He said, judge her for me. Amru, hechi navid. So then they said among themselves, not really sure what to do about this particular situation. It's sort of an awkward situation, right? If we say kill her, then tomorrow he's gonna be less angry, and we're gonna be in trouble for it, right? Shavka kamezals labamalchus. If we tell him to let her go, then she's disgraced the entire kingdom. That's not okay, right? The king's power has to be respected. Otherwise, you're gonna have anarchy, right? Amru loyta said to him, "Miyom shecharav beis hamikdash vekalinu meratenu nitlaitzam imenu einu yodim adun nefan afashos." It said to him, "Since the beis hamikdash was destroyed, we lost the ability to think through these issues properly, right? And we can't judge dinin afashos anymore." Now, this there's truth here, right? The Sanhedrin, the Chachamim, are really not allowed to condemn somebody to death in the absence of a beis hamikdash. Right, there's no death penalty in Judaism unless Sanhedrin, Yoshevim, Belish, Chasakot, unless they're sitting in the Azara to pass the judgment. Right, but nevertheless, right, obviously they could give a Goyish, a king, advice about what to do. Right, the answer is they didn't want to because they thought they were going to get in trouble. Zil legabe amen amav de yasvi beduchtayu kechamri de yasev al durdeye. So they said, go to Ammon and Moab and ask them. They are sitting on, they are still living in the place where they should be, in their ancestral lands. Like a donkey sitting on its own excrement. That's the martial aid. V'tayim amrulei. Right, and they said, and they explained to him why. Dichtiv sha'anan mo'av minura v'shakeitu al shemarav. V'lohu rak mikli al kli v'gala le'alach al kein amad amoy bo v'reichoy lo'y namar. Right. Then they quoted to him a pasuk from Yirmiyahu to prove the point, right? Moab is sitting and it has been quiet from the time of his youth, right? Right. He's quiet among, you know, those surrounding him. It's literally the translation, right? He hasn't been moved from kli to kli, from place to place. Of galel alach, he was never exiled. Al kena matamay bo reichoy lo'y. Therefore, a Moab stayed the same. Culturally, Moab has not changed. Right? The smell of it hasn't changed. And Moab is still the same Moab as it was around the time of when it started. Who started Moab? Who's the ancestor of Moab? Very good. So Lot's sons, by his own daughters, right? Moab and Ammon. Yeah? So Moab is the older. Miyad ve'kra ve'lav karshana shesar ad mesa tarshish. Says straight away he got these four people towards him, right? These advisors. Amar Rabbi Levi kol pasuk zeh al shum korban nois neemar. Right? Rabbi Levi said this entire pasuk was meant to be darshan to be about korbanos. Karshana amar achayash arzav nei akadosh baruch hu boi nei shalom klumi krivu lefanecha karim bnei shana kader shekrivu yisrael lefanecha. So it says the Malchim said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, did they bring to you sheep 1 year old like Yisroel did? Did they bring the korban of a sheep, of the korban tamid, right? Kvasim b'nei shana tmimim. Did they bring to you the same korban as Yisroel brought for the korban tamid, which is the most important korban of the Beit HaMikdash? Sheitzar, klumi krivu lefanecha shtei torin. Did they bring in front of you, Sheitzar, two torin ar? Sorry? Yeah? Very good. Well, I mean, doves. Ad mitza, klum bono lefanecha, mizbeach adama. Right, ad mitza, did they build before you a mizbeach adama, a mizbeach made from earth? Was mizbeach really made from earth?
No.
What was it made from? Okay, fine. And what was around it? Very good, bronze. Right? It's called sometimes mizbeach and achoshes. Right, the bronze mizbeach. Right, it had a coating of bronze around it.
So the mizbeach hazahav is the small mizbeach.
The mizbeach hazahav is the small mizbeach in the heichal where the ketoros is found. Okay. Tarshish klum shimshu lefanecha bevigdei kachonah dechziv behu tarshish v'sheham v'yashbei. Why tarshish? Because did these goyim serve in front of you in the big kachonah and the priestly garments of which it was says tarshish v'sheham v'yashbei? Where is it says? Where is tarshish v'sheham v'yashbei on the big kachonah? Very good. On the Choshen, they are three of the gems that are on the Choshen. The Choshen, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, has 12 gems on it. These are three of them, one for each tribe. Yeah? Meres, klum mirsu bedam lefanecha. Meres, why Meres? Did they stir the blood in front of you? What's this a reference to? When a korban couldn't be, when you couldn't throw the blood on the mizbeach immediately after you, very good, after you shechted an animal, then they would stir the blood continuously to make sure it didn't clot. So they'd be able to throw on the mizbeach when they needed to. This was a particular problem on Yom Kippur because there was a significant gap between when the Kohen Gadol shechted the par, right, the cow, his cow, the car of the Kohanim, and when he went into the Kodesh HaKodashim to throw the blood in front of the Aron HaKodesh. Okay? Yeah, everybody's following? Okay. Marasana, klum mirso, the menachos lefanecha. Marasana, did they mix up the menachos in front of you? Why do they have to mix menachos? What's in menachos?
Flour
and oil, right? Flour and oil, you have to mix together so that it combines. Memuchan, right? Memuchan. By the way, who is Memuchan? Sorry? Very good. We're about to see that. That's good. You remember? Did they get the shulchan ready in front of you? What's the shulchan? Anybody know? What did they put on the shulchan? The lechem upon him. Okay, the way the shulchan worked, the shulchan was a table. It was a golden table in the Beit HaMikdash, right? And they had on it 12 loaves of bread. The loaves of bread were in trays. right? They were not chametz, they were matzah, and they were in trays, right? Why is that? And they were six, basically there were two sets of trays, two towers of trays, each six loaves of, there were six loaves of bread in each one, right? One tray for each loaf of bread, on top, one on top of the other. Are you understand? Why lechem upon him? Because they weren't shaped like what we think of as a loaf of bread. They were shaped like a horseshoe. So the bread faced itself. Eh? Hence it's called lechem upon him. Right, so did they get the table ready in front of you, right? The shulchan. Why is that important? Because they do with their shulchan, they would put the lechem upon him on the table only once a week on Shabbos. Then the next Shabbos, they would take the lechem upon him off, put new lechem upon him on, and eat the lechem upon him, and they'd just take it off. The male kohanim, the Beis Hamikdash would eat it.
Who are these questions
directly? The Melachim Asher Ben Shalom. That's this pasuk is being darshaned.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that there were really seven advisors who had these seven names, it's that when after the Chachamim couldn't answer the question because they were afraid, so the Malachim were like, no, these people aren't as good as the people who just asked to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Because none of these people have any kesher to Karbanos, and the Chachamim all have a relationship with Karbanos. Okay? Vayomer Memuchan. Memuchan said, Tana Memuchan Ze Haman. Memuchan is Haman. Velama Nikrash Memuchan. Why Memuchan? Shem Muchan Lekoronos. He was prepared. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him there so that he could do terrible things to the Jews. Amar Rav Kahana Mikan Shehaed Yoid Kofetz Barosh. Rav Kahana says, now we know that the least important person is going to be the one that always answers first. He's always going to be the one. The one who's afraid that people don't take him seriously is going to be the one who jumps. Right? How do they know? Because the pasuk says, Karshana, Karshana Shisar Admesar Tarshish, Meres Marsana and Memuchan. He's the last one to be listed. Right? So he's the least important. Ah, so he answered first. He was one upping all the others. Yeah? There's. Liyois called Ish Soirer Berveisoi. Right? Remember, Memuchan said that you have to kill Vashti. Why? To teach all the women in the kingdom a lesson. You have to send them out at their story. You have to tell them what happened. Tell all the people in the kingdom a lesson that every man should rule in his house. Right? A man should be in charge of his house, not the woman, says Haman. Right? Amar Rava said, Ilmali, Igris, and Rashonis, and Shtar, Misanem, Shal Yisrael, Sarid, Vipalit. Ari my high the shadir lan liyos kolish tarerve so ipshita filu karcha veise pardashka hadili have. This is Amarav. If it wasn't for these first letters that were sent out, remember there were two sets of three sets of letters that were sent out during Purim. This one, then Haman's letters to kill the Jews, and then the letters that were sent out right at the end to say that Jews could defend themselves. Right. If these sets of letters were not sent out, then the enemies of the Jews, meaning the Jewish people, would never have survived at all. It says, what is this thing that he sent us to say that every person should rule in his own house? It says even somebody who's the headman of the king, meaning he has a big axe and he kills people for a living, is like a servant in his own house. Right? That the king's an idiot. Right? If it wasn't for this letter that had been sent out, then people would have taken the letters of the king very, very seriously. But with these letters that were sent out, so people realize Achashverosh is an idiot. Because everybody knows who really runs a house. That's what the Gemara is saying, right? The wife runs things typically, right? Even somebody who's very important outside the house, the second he gets in, he's a servant. That's what it says, right? Vayifkoid ha-melech pechidim. The melech put people in charge of it. Amar Rav. My dif siyav kol eroim yaseh bedas uchsil yefaresh eveles. So why does the pasuk say, anybody who's cunning will do things cleverly, right? But a very stupid person will tell you exactly what he's doing. He'll tell you his plot. Kol arum yaseh bedas de David dichtiv vayim roi la'av adav yivakshu ala adoni ha-melech na'ara besula. Kol man dehavi li brasa I say Niale. Right? Therefore, what the person. He says anybody who says anybody, the smart one is David. Why? Because when David wanted to get remarried towards the end of his life, his servant said that we should find one Nara Besula, right? One maid for the king. Right, what's the point? The Ksilia for Ishivelas, the person who'll tell, the one who tells what he's going to do, tells everybody, that's Achashverosh, because he said, Call Manda Havile Brosa, Itamra Mine. He sent out messengers to all of the kingdom to find every single young girl who was pretty and bring them all to him, right, so that he'd be able to sleep with every single one and eventually he'd work out which one he wanted to marry. Right, anybody who had a daughter, and what happens once a woman has slept with the king? Exactly, she can never get married. Everybody who has a daughter hid them from the king. But they didn't want their daughters to go, because if the daughter wasn't the one chosen, then they're stuck. As opposed to with David and Melch, who only wanted one one, so nobody's going to hide them. They'll all show them to the messengers, because everybody wants their daughter to be the queen. Yeah? Ish Yehudi ayah b'shoshana mirav v'goymer ish yemini. The pasuk says there was a Ish Yehudi, a Jewish man in Shushan Habira, in the capital Shushan. Right? He was an Ish Yemini. Mike Amar. What? What does it mean Ish Yemini? Ili Yehusa kasi liyach seva azil bar ad Binyamin. Simple pshutish on mikros. It means that he's from the Shevet of Binyamin, right? They say. If they were saying that he's from Shevet Binyamin, they should have said, he's the son of, I don't remember, this person, son of this person, da, 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 all the way back to Binyamin. Remember, they kept their lineages. Right, to this day, there are people who live in Muslim countries who really know their lineages. I know people of Syrian descent who know that their families were living in Syria from the time of Shlomo Melech. And when I say they know it, I mean they have a family tree that proves it. Right? There are tribes in Afghanistan called the Pashtuns. They're now Muslim. We know for a fact they've descended from Jews that converted to Islam in the 17th century because they've kept their family trees and they're descended from Jews from Beis Rishon. Right? So some people really keep their lineages. Right? If he was from Shevet Binyamin, he'd know exactly how he goes back to Shevet Binyamin. And only Ashkenazim don't care about who their grandparents are. So it says, Ella Mai Shnahane. I'm sorry? So in that case, why are we doing only find out about the names of a few people? Certainly not all the way to Binyamin. Tana, Kulan, Oshmo, Nikru. They were all named after Mordechai. Right? All of the people mentioned here say something about Mordechai. Ben Yar Ben Shehir Inehem Shall Yisrael Bisfilase. Why Ben Yar? Because he lightened the eyes of the Jews. He enlightened the Jews with his davening, right? Ben Shemi Ben Shashama Ben Sheshamal Tefilase. Right? He's a son of that tribe. That the one who his tefilos heard him. Ben Kish Shehi Kish Al Sharei Rachamim Vniftekuloi. Why Ben Kish? Because he banged. Hey Kish, he banged on the doors of mercy to Shamayim, and they were opened for him. Kari le Yehudi, almi mi Yehuda kasi, v'kari le mini, almi binyan kasi. Right, it says that he was a Yehudi, meaning it sounds like he's from Yehuda, and then it sounds, call them in Yemini, sounds like he's from Binyamin, no, which is it? Is he from Shevet Binyamin or Shevet Yehuda? Amarav Nachman, Mordechai Muchtar Beni Musayaya. But he had many, many nice names said about him. Both Yehudi and Yemini, right? He's from both places. He's got all the good lineages mixed up together. Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabba Barachana said the name of Yeshua ben Levi. Aviv mi Binyamin ve'inay Yehuda. His father was from Binyamin, his mother was from Yehuda. Rabban Amri Mishpachos Miskaros Zubazu Mishpachas Yehuda Omeres Anna Geir. Garin the Mishael Mordechai the Loikatle David Leshimi Ben Geirah Mishpachas Binyamin Amram Minai Kasi. Right, Rabbanan say no. The story is that the Shvatim were fighting over him. It says Yehudi and Yemini, because they both wanted him. They were both claiming that they were responsible for Mordechai. Why? Because Yehuda says, I'm responsible that he was born, because David HaMelech didn't kill Shimi ben Gera, and Shimi ben Gera is one of Mordechai's ancestors. Without that, Mordechai would never have been born, says Yehuda. Binyamin says, no, what are you talking about? He's from Shevet Binyamin. I'm responsible for him. This is the families were fighting over him. Both of them were written into the Megillah. Rava Amar, Rava said, Kvetzal Amar le'idach Gisa, Ra'u ma'asa li Yehuda ma'ashilim imini, ma'asa li Yehudi, de'leikat le'david l'shemi, de'isi alid minei Mordechai, de'mik minei ve'haman, o ma'ashilim li'yemini, de'leikat le'shaul le'agav, de'isi alid minei haman, de'met sa'er le'yisrola. And then Knesset Yisrael says to both of them, look at what by God, both from Yehuda and from Binyamin, right? Yehuda, David HaMelech, who's from Shevet Yehuda, didn't kill Shimi ben Gera. Then Mordechai was born, and look what he did. He made Haman jealous, so that Haman decided to kill all the Jews. It's all Yehuda's fault that Yehuda allowed Mordechai to be born. Then they say, no, and look what I got from Binyamin. Right? Binyamin, Shaul HaMelech, who was from Shevet Binyamin, didn't kill Agag, the king of Amalek. Right then, Agag is an ancestor of Haman, who was born to torment the Jewish people. You're both terrible. Right? In top, let's just finish this last bit. Rabbi Yochanan says, "La'olam Binyamin kasi ve'amai kari li'Yehudi." Right? He was from Binyamin. He was from Shevet Binyamin. And why is he from Yehudi? Why was he called Yehudi? Al-shum she'kafar ba'avodah zarah. Because he denied avodah zarah. He did not acknowledge avodah zarah. She'kola koifer ba'avodah zarah nikra Yehudi. Diksiv iti gavrin Yehudoin. Because anybody who denies avodah zarah is called a Yehudi. Right, it's called Yehudi. How do we know? Because in Daniel it says, with me are these three people, Yehudain, Jews. Right? Now, not everybody in Babel was a Jew. Some of them were, as in not everybody in Babel was a Jew in Babel was from Yehuda. Some of them were, for even though Jew comes from Yehuda, right? Not everybody in Babel, not every Yisrael in Babel was from Yehuda. Some of them were from Binyamin. So the fact that it says, Ziti Gavrin Yehudain, talking about Hananiah, Mishael, Ba'azariah, who were thrown into the furnace for not bowing down to a statue of Achashverosh, right? Say that the word Yehuda in Babel was understood to be someone who denied Avodah Zarah. Shkoyach, gentlemen, please God, we will continue tomorrow.